Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening in the stars above for this week. A trick-or-treat kind of week, right? Trick-or-treat, two reasons why. One is Halloween, and the second reason is there are several different transits going on this week. It's a very busy week, actually. And the week, the busyness of the week bridges over into the first couple of days of November. So we have a week that is bringing in new energies. At the same time, we're closing out the energies of the previous month. So busy, but a little bit like some things are awesome and other transits are a little challenging. So that is what we're going to primarily be talking about today. I've also been looking at some of the different articles being written out there about the USA Pluto return. And I thought we might review that. I don't know that we'll get time to do that today, but I want to review that with you because yay, though, we thought we were done with the Pluto return based on the tropical zodiac. And all of that ending with a final transit in 2022, there's actually the precessed Pluto return. And precessed meaning, you know, if we move the zodiac ahead by the zodiac ecliptic, I don't want to get into explaining all that. I did not mean to do that. But if we do that, then we are staring down the final Pluto exact return later this December. So, and given the nature of Pluto, Pluto, the great transformer, a planet that we will give sometimes 10 to 15 degrees of orb. And for those of you who don't know what I mean by orb, it means that we give it a wide area of impact. So where most transits or planets coming together, we give maybe 6 degrees. With Pluto, we can give up to 15 degrees because he is that powerful in that transformative energies. And that comes from cosmic astrologers, for lack of a better word, mundane astrologers who study the larger cycles of time in astrology. And one of the most important and impactful ones is Richard Tarnas, who wrote the book Cosmo and Psyche. And as he was looking at all of these larger cycles of time, he noticed that Pluto needed bigger orbs, wider orbs, we say. So literally, transits to Pluto or Plutoan transits can give a wider degree of impact. They'll start earlier and last longer. So what we're seeing at this point is Pluto's USA return lasting longer. And that will be based on the precessed Pluto, right? The precessed Pluto. And there's a really good article on astro.com. It's like one of the top articles by Ray Grass. And he's an astrologer that has is the article that I'm reading right now. And I know sometimes it's hard to read astrology articles unless you're an astrologer. So I'll be breaking down that article over the next couple of weeks for you because it's so fascinating to see what some of the correlations are. And you can definitely see the two main time periods, the 2022 and then the 2024s that are creating big changes in this country. And of course, the election this month, next week, falling right in that Pluto return. And interesting, because those are huge signposts of change and of moving in a new direction, an Aquarian direction, because the actual USA Pluto is in Aquarius, not Capricorn, right? So we see the sign before a major transit is often where you start to see the disengagement, right? Or the destruction of the longer term transit. So if a Pluto return happens in the sign of Aquarius, it will be in the sign of Capricorn, that all of the issues that are leading to the eventual rebirth are going to start to take place, right? So in Capricorn, that's when we started to see the breakdown of systems and so forth. And then that only got exaggerated as we moved on into the 2020s, where the biggest issues came boiling up to the surface in very Plutoan ways. So it's a fascinating article. I encourage you to read it if you're so able to do that and understand it. If not, I will be breaking it down over the next few weeks as we talk more and more about this headlong crash that we are making into the sign of Aquarius with Pluto. All right. Good morning to everybody. Everybody's a little sleepy slow this morning. I was talking to myself for a few minutes, I thought, but I see Narges out there. Good morning to you. Teddy says, boo hoo. It's me, Teddy. That's funny. And Christine Buckingham, early voting today. Well, in Washington, we got our ballots about 2 weeks ago, and my husband and I have already voted and dropped ours off at the voting receptacle, or the ballot receptacle. So ours is mail-in and drop-off, and we don't have to stand in long lines. We don't have to do any of that stuff, which I absolutely love. So yes, get the vote out. That is your voice, right? You're so many people complain about what's going on in this country, and then you ask them, well, did you vote? And they say no, and you're like, then shut up. Right? Don't talk to me about the problems if you're not going to do your due diligence in using what you can in terms of your voice, which is your vote, and maybe even go further with your voice if need be, right? So at any rate, today, what I really want to talk about is some of the transits that are happening this week, and there are quite a few. And that usually is a tell that the energy of the week is going to be a little volatile or a little up and down. And when I say volatile, I don't necessarily mean that as in, you know, a tragedy or bad. It just means there's this up and down quality because all of the different planets, especially inward planets, so your Mercury, Venus, Mars, are all doing these connections with planets, and that usually impacts us as individuals. So this week can have some striking, interesting things going on. And then I want to talk about today's moon in a little bit deeper quality, because the moon is in Virgo. When I pulled my chart this morning, the moon was at 22 degrees of Virgo, and it is making a square to Jupiter, a sextile to Mercury, a trine to Uranus, an opposition to Neptune, and a sextile to Mars in Cancer, all before 9:30 tonight when it changes signs into Libra. So that's extraordinary too, especially against the backdrop of the bigger transits that are happening, which makes today feel like we're, you know, almost a feeling of out of control. So many things happening, you know, energetically, that there's not a whole lot that we can control in the matter. So just know emotions are going to be up and down. The connections the moon is making to all of the different planets takes things up and down. And then the bigger transit energies that are happening are also going to have their own sense of up and down. One of them today in particular is a really highlighted day. And on my calendar, it's highlighted in green. So green to me is good, right? It's go. This is go energy. And in some ways it is very much like that, but it is go energy that can be scattered. It can be a little bit hard to pin down exactly where the go energy is going, right? Where is it going? What are we doing? And then tomorrow we end up with Mercury in an opposition to Uranus. And that can also make for some really high mind oriented energies. So it is a good week to practice your breathing, meditate, be calm, watch your emotions, and so on and so forth. So let's see, other people are checking in now. Good morning to Joan Durchy. Natasha, great to see you. She said, good morning, slow morning for me. I feel slow to me too, but not really. My mind is moving like 10 steps ahead of me. Good morning, Londa. Is this a good week to give notice to leave a project? I have a meeting Wednesday to notice. You know, Londa, for you, as a Leo, I don't know when this week you would plan to do that, but on Sunday, Mars moves into Leo. And Leo, I believe, sits on your first house in your natal chart. So to me, that means it's a good week, at least by Sunday, to start laying claim to your true authentic self, your own self-expression. And so, yeah, I would say yes. But because of the nature of the emotional energy, the water energy during this week, be very careful with the emotions, right? Don't let emotions get you carried away. Good morning, Jamon, and good morning, Amy D. Nicole Duke, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. So good to hear your voice, she says. We need a good long catch-up. I have, if you want, I'll send you a link to schedule that with me. As you know, I've been thinking about you as well. And so much is going on in everybody's charts right now. It is pretty amazing when you think about all of the changes that are going through. Raise your hand if in any given day you go through about 10 different emotional or more emotional energies. Yay. Some days I'm on this high and I'm feeling like, you know, very optimistic about the future. And I'm feeling optimistic about my business. I'm feeling optimistic about my personal life. And that's followed 20 minutes later by, oh my God, it's all falling apart. And what am I doing? And then goes back up and goes back down. It's been this kind of roller coaster. And I know if I'm feeling it, either you all are about to get into that feeling or you are also feeling it as well. So there is this sense that we're all falling headlong towards something. But what? Right? What is it? And I feel like part of that energy will break after, for us in the USA anyway, after the election. But will it? Right? Will it? All depends on the outcome of the election, I suppose, and the reactions or responses of the parties involved on either side. So hold on to your hats or hold on to your, you know, flying by the seat of your pants right now in a way, because so much volatility emotionally is out there, right? And that's, sometimes it's like that. So let's see. Good morning, Tina. Good morning, J-Lo. And good morning, Jane Robinson. She says, I'm so ready to move. I want to know where you're ready to move to, Jane. You know, there was a time my husband is, his mother was Canadian, is Canadian. Well, she's dead now, but she was Canadian and held dual citizenship. And so we thought, well, could we actually move to Canada because Terry's likely going to be able to get dual citizenship. And then I went, why would I do that? Why would I leave my country just because things are seemingly crazy here? Because they're crazy everywhere. It's not just here. It just feels like it because we are in that Pluto return. So Christine, is the up and down a regular thing for us? Mutable sun signs, you know, mutable sun signs or having a lot of mutable energy in your astrology chart, it gives you greater flexibility and ability to be adaptable because, you know, that is it's something that you kind of enjoy or work through quite easily. But then we have all the fixed signs, right? We have the Taurus or the Leo, the Scorpios, the Aquarians, and let's see, Leo, Scorpio, who am I missing here? Leo is fire. And the fixed signs are the ones that like to keep things steady and like to stabilize things. And at this moment, there's a lot of mutable planets or planets in mutable signs and a lot of water going on in a chart. In fact, if you ever look at your astrology charts and you look at this little grid right here, right? This little grid is fire, air, earth, and water, and cardinal, which are initiating energies, fixed, which are stay the course energies, and mutable, which are let's make change, right? Let's transform. That grid tells you what the energies are like. And if you look right now, we have a preponderance of fire and water energies, mostly water, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 water, 3, 4, 5, 6 fire. So we're fire and water. And if you look at the modes, we have a lot of cardinal and a lot of mutable. So the cardinal signs are all about initiating, taking new steps, moving forward, right? Mutable is about, let's make change. Let's go through this idea of being flexible and how could we make things better through change or transformation. So that's why we have Taurus. Thank you, J-Lo. I knew I was missing one. This is why we have so much potential for change and disruption right now, because most of the planetary energy is sitting there. The fixed signs aren't as heavily populated. So it kind of adds to that. Oh my gosh, you're right, Christine. Fire and rain. Great song. That's awesome. Tina, just for reference, I'm Augustina. I've changed my nickname, but same me. Haha. All right. I gotcha. All right. So now I get who you are. I thought you were a whole new person joining us. Anyway, so it's endemic right now that there is all of this feeling of uncertainty, of up and down, of transformation, of, you know, when I tap in to the collective, I sense fear. And you know, it's a fear season, right? We're talking about the season of the spleen, where all of the sun's energies are moving through the spleen center that can trigger a lot of the survival fears, right? Does this country survive? Does the climate cause humans to die off? You know, survival energies are really triggered. So we are a part of the collective. So of course we pick it up, right? We pick it up. So keep yourself calm and cool. Just keep yourself in the now. We talked a lot about that, I think on Friday, maybe it was, where the spleen center is the center of the now moment, this moment. And right here, this moment, everything's calm and peaceful, right? There's a storm brewing outside for sure, but inside here, everything is warm and dry and calm and cool, right? So we go with that flow. Now, looking at the astrology for this week. Now, this week, by the way, I will also be on Wednesday. Wednesday, I'll be with Tam, and we'll take a look ahead at November. Now, you know, when we look at the 2 months side by side, October was much less crazy than November will be. And that's just because a bunch of changes happening in November. None the least of which is, you know, Pluto moving into Aquarius out of Capricorn for the last time, Saturn turning direct, a Mercury retrograde scheduled for later in the month, and Mercury and Venus both changing signs, Venus into Capricorn and Mercury into Sagittarius. So, you know, it's kind of one of those months where there's just going to be a lot going on. So what we need to do now is to understand, how are we closing out October? So as we move into November and the next big leap of changes, including some of the things in the outer world, like an election in the US, how are we going to work through all of that? How's that going to show up for us? So we start today with the moon in Virgo. And in Virgo, moons are moons about organizing and getting things done. They're methodical, they're practical, it's grounded energy that is also detail oriented. We're seeing the small, and what we have to do with that moon then is to make ourselves be able to widen the lens so we can see the bigger. And it's an invitation for all of us when the moon is in Virgo to find practical solutions to things. And there's a desire for order. That's been the weekend was also, you know, Sunday anyway, the moon was in Virgo and I made my husband clean out his closet, right? Get rid of some of those shirts that you're not wearing that are just clogging up the closet. I'd already done my bit, so I didn't do it. I didn't make him do it and I didn't. We both did this. So with the aspects that are going on with the moon today, it's a very dynamic day of getting things done, getting things organized, putting things in order. So let's start with the square to Jupiter, which is the first thing that happens. Now, anytime the moon squares Jupiter from whichever sign, there is a tendency for us to overdo or overcommit, overspend, over imbibe, overeat, you know, all these things. The over is the big thing here. And it will, as it is a square, it can sometimes stir up tension between the small details in Virgo and the bigger details of Jupiter. Jupiter sees the big picture, Virgo sees the little picture, and Jupiter's in Gemini. So we have a feeling of overwhelm, perhaps, or a push and pull between wanting to zoom in on the details, but also needing to maintain this connection to the bigger picture of what's going on. So this transit then of the moon to Jupiter means we need to stay grounded and prioritize what's most important so that it can help us channel our energy in a constructive way, right? Constructive. Virgo is earth, Gemini is air. So we have earth and air working together. They don't always work together well. So we have to actually, you know, do some work to keep ourselves grounded and not just fly away with the breeze. Now, helping in some of that is a positive aspect between Mercury and the moon. So we have a sextile, which is a harmonious 60-degree relationship between, in this case, the moon in Virgo and the planet Mercury in Scorpio. So it deepens our emotional field, but it also deepens our access to insights that come from the emotional body or come from the emotions. And that it helps us to communicate our observations of what we're feeling with intensity, maybe because Scorpio's intense, but also depth, right? Not just superficially skimming over the top of something, but digging in, seeing things from a deeper perspective. So today, at some point when this transit is occurring, it's an ideal energy to research, to investigate, or engage in any conversation, of course, that needs to dive deeper. Maybe you're diving in to discover the truth, or maybe it is that you want to uncover something of a more emotional nature. And so a positive here, it really is positive, as long as we remember not to emotionally react, right? It's the emotional reaction that gets us in trouble, not the emotions themselves. It's not the emotions, it's the reaction. So don't react, respond. And by responding, you are able to, you know, take a breath, see things from a different perspective, choose consciously what it is you want to do and how is it that you want to proceed. So that sextile to Mercury helping us to do that. There's also a trine to the planet Uranus in Taurus. And a trine is also harmonious. A trine is a 120-degree angle between the planets, so that it's a double sextile, if you will, right? Sextile 60 degrees, trine 120. And it's a harmonious aspect. It's a pattern in a chart that really shows an ease and flow of this energy, the communication, the feeding of the emotional energy. It goes back and forth in a real positive way. And it brings sometimes some excitement and unpredictability when it's a trine to Uranus, because it is a planet that does the surprise, right? Look at what I've done. And it helps us to embrace new approaches. So when we see, when we looked at all that cardinal energy, initiating energy, and that mutable energy, which is energy of change, where the planets are organized at this moment, then we can see that this particular transit might help us really move out of the comfort zone, pushing us, as it were, you know, to move into new territory. But also, you know, those eureka moments that we can get that are like those ahas, now I get it, now I see, the practical solution that, you know, breaks the old routine, or, you know, breaks the way that you've been doing things. That's possible today as well with that trine. And it can be multiple breakthroughs. It doesn't have to be in just one thing. It can also be shocks. There could be shocking things that happen, but this doesn't have to be a bad thing. It just means that the energy is flowing nicely for us to have those aha moments. What you do with those aha moments are up to you, right? And here's where a little bit of the problem with the trine lies, because a trine is so smooth and so easy that if you just tried a little bit harder, like put a little more effort into making that change, things would skyrocket. But instead, we just kind of go with that flow and things change, but maybe more mildly or not as successfully or spectacularly as they could have. So the trine is like a double-edged sword where you can get a little bit complacent with it, right? So don't get complacent if you're offered a change today, or if something new comes into your reality, you know, really take a look at it and decide, is this a direction I want to go in? Now, we also have an opposition, the moon, having an opposition to Neptune and Pisces today as well. And here is where Virgo's very grounded nature clashes a bit with the Neptune dreamy, elusive qualities, right? Neptune being the ruler of Pisces, so he's very empowered at this point. So there can be some moments of confusion, and that we need to sort through the mixed messages maybe that we're getting from the universe. And, you know, that kind of gives me an idea too, because part of the anxiety, I think, of all of us at this moment is that nature of the mixed message, right? On one hand, we have this message of change and moving forward. On the other hand, we have this, no, we want to stay the same. And, you know, who would we be if we didn't have these things, whether that's personal or collective, right? That's a big theme that's going on. It's the mixed message. And as the moon tries to filter Neptune's kind of confused, but also imaginative energy, trying to make it into something tangible, right? The moon is in Virgo, so wanting to have it tangible. And the way to make it tangible is to follow your intuition, but also watch out for the reality check, right? You got to have it grounded, but you also want to have the imagination, the ability to see things that could be, not just how they are. And then the final aspect of the moon today will be, and this is all between now and this evening at 9:30, or actually not, because it goes into the void at 8:54 p.m. and this is West Coast time. So for some of you, this will bridge over into the, you know, early morning hours. You'll be asleep. You might not even notice. But for those of us on the West Coast, we are in the thick of it. And that void begins at 8:54 and leaves us with the sextile to Mars and Cancer. Now, this is also a supportive transit, and it boosts our motivation to do, to be, to get, you know, moving, to get out of the funk that we're in. And, you know, it kind of vibes well with Virgo's need to serve or to help and be helpful. So, you know, as this builds today, it might be a good day for taking caring actions for those you love, or organizing your home or your workspace or a work project that, you know, benefits people in a greater sense, right? Benefiting your loved ones or your family, your friends, but also, you know, the community that you are a part of. So today's moon is kind of complex, right? There's a lot of different things going on that, you know, lead to that up and down trick or treat nature of this early part of the week. But it does give us an opportunity to explore new solutions in a more methodical way. That's a good way to spin that, right? Put it all in order so that we can have something that we can actually take action on, right? That's what the Mars in Cancer is attempting. And, you know, Mars is also in a trine to Neptune in Pisces this week. That's today, actually. And Mars trine Neptune today and Venus square Saturn today. So next, that's what we're going to look at, those two transits that are going on. In the meantime, though, let's say good morning to Terry. Hello there. Asa, good morning to you too. TD Hawk, greetings and love to all. So sorry to be late. Glad to not miss it all. We'll listen from the beginning. It's all right, Tamara. It's always on recording. So you'll get that. Paulette Peasley, good morning. And JLo, reminder, yes, thank you very much, to click the like button or the thumbs up button and share your video with others. And a couple of other things that I just want to remind you of that I don't have the links for at this moment because I restarted my computer just before I went in. The Energy Almanac 2025 is now available. It is a beautiful book. And as you guys know, I'm a contributor to the book. And this year, we have extra good things in it, like oracle card space for you to pull cards for the month or for the day or the week, however you want to do that. I think it's for each week. There's also a month at a glance calendar like this that's built in. So as I'm telling you, okay, today we have Mars trine Neptune, then you're just going to scribble in here Mars trine Neptune and maybe a few notes about that. So you can always have that close to you for 2025. And that's available by going to Amazon. And I will post the link in the description of the video as I process the video after we're done today. Let's see. Thank you, JLo, for that reminder. And let's dive. Oh, the second thing. On the 21st of November, I'll be doing a webinar on the 13th sign. And I've been really fascinated with the subject because it would be a huge change, right? It would be huge. I can't even tell you how huge it would be if we started following more closely the actual planetary placement of the signs and constellations. In other words, you know, over time they drifted apart, right? Where the tropical zodiac that was, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years ago is not the tropical zodiac today. We did not move the tropical zodiac up to meet the actual precessed zodiac. So while it still works, right, astrology still works, what might we glean if we, you know, started thinking about moving that 13th sign in? How would our lives change? Because the 13th sign is a sign of healing and transformation. So what if we really started consciously working with that energy? How might that play out? So I want to talk about all those things in the webinar on November 21st, which is a Thursday. And I will also post the link where you can get registered for that. And of course, if you can't come to the live, it's always recorded and you can link up to that whenever you have the time to see it. All right. And let's see, let's go into Monday's planetary transits. Today being Monday, Mars in Cancer, trine Neptune in Pisces. And again, a trine creates this harmonious flow of energy between the planets. And we have action-oriented Mars, and we have dreamy, imaginative Neptune. And with Mars in the sign of Cancer, a water sign, his usual direct approach, like he's usually, you know, like right straight in your face, bold, courageous, you know, let's do this, gets a little bit more quieted, right? He gets a little more intuitive. He gets more compassionate, perhaps. And there's a more subtle quality to the energy of action because of his placement in Cancer and the fact that he's dealing with Neptune, an empowered Neptune in the sign of his own home, which is Pisces. So what might we expect with this planet of action in the sign of water and the planet of imagination in the sign of water? Well, one, we might experience heightened intuition and also sensitivity, right? Mars in Cancer is already kind of connecting up to emotional motivations. And with the trine to Neptune now, there's an increased sensitivity to both emotional energy and the energy of the emotions from your own self, but also from other people, what's in the environment, a sensitivity to that, and other people's feelings, like really being able to tap in. And there's also a more intuitive understanding that we're bringing to the surface here and acting then maybe with more sensitivity and more compassion than normal. Now, I'm not saying, you know, those of us that are listening here, we're probably very compassionate usually, right? Human beings are compassionate beings. But when we have this kind of a setup, we're really acting more from empathy. We're acting more from our intuition. And that's different from the usual where we may feel like we're questioning our intuition, right? We're questioning that inner guidance. But with Mars in Cancer, you know, that usual bold, let's just jump just to make everything feel better energy is more intuitively directed, right? More intuitively and compassionately action oriented. And Neptune now in a sign that he rules adds a dreamlike quality to all of this. And Mars brings a drive to act on creative inspiration and on those dreams. Whatever it is that Neptune can dream up, Mars is willing to take action on, right, to create. So it's an ideal time for us to follow our creative pursuits, to follow our creative imagination, right? Especially involving things like music or art or writing, where emotions and imagination come together. And Mars gives the motivation to bring those inspirations to life, right? To do something with them. And it's more gentle motivation. You know, Mars here is allowing us to move forward in a more gentle, maybe flowing way, and embracing a slower, more reflective pace, not one that's frenetic or action, you know, all action all the time, not adrenalized as Mars can be in other signs. So we may feel less likely to push forward aggressively, preferring instead to sort of allow things to happen or to unfold organically with patience and grace, right? Ease and flow. Empathy and action is also another quality of Mars in this trine to Neptune. Mars in Cancer, supported by Neptune, brings compassionate action to the forefront. It's like coming up for us and we want to take action on it. And we may feel drawn to certain causes, things that are out there that we want to help with and are inspired maybe to lend a hand to people who need it. So it's a time for actions that come from within, come from the heart, and that uplift others, right? It's an uplifting kind of transit. And it softens the boundaries. Softens the boundaries, but can also blur the lines, right? So Neptune is always going to blur the boundaries. And it's essential then to stay grounded so that we actually know what is the right action for us to take. We might also, if we're not staying grounded, feel our energy becoming too diffuse and, you know, scattering, as it were. There's a tendency to get lost in daydreams or to take others' emotions on too easily, especially if you have an open emotional center in your human design. If that center on the bottom right of the human design chart is white, you are open emotionally, and so you're more apt to bring in the emotions of others. You're very empathic, right? So you're feeling other people's feelings. And if that's what is happening for you, you can begin to, you know, take action on things that aren't even your own. So be very wise to that. Practice mindfulness to help keep you balanced in your own energy, in your own action plan. But overall, the Mars-Neptune trine encourages this gentle, more compassionate action, blending creativity and empathy into our everyday life, into everything that we do. So it's a perfect time to align your actions with what feels good, with your higher purpose, and act from the higher purpose, right? That's what will help keep you balanced. And also, because you have increased intuition and empathy, acting in the best interest of all that are involved. So cool. Tamara is excited for the webinar. Me too. I have the whole thing already written out. Just got to finish, you know, the slides. I mean, I just jumped on this one. And I am really excited to share that. I should also let you know that coming next will be the Astrology of 2025 webinar. And of course, there are so many changes coming up in 2025. It will be one not to miss, right? Don't miss this one. Natasha, funny, I'm a Cancer and would be a Gemini, which I feel these changes are pulling me into. Yeah, and interesting because as a Gemini, I'm being pulled into Taurus. And, you know, a part of that, ooh, let me just give you a little snippet here. Part of that is because when we start to correct the zodiac, and this is just a potential. I am not advocating this because I know it would be very upending. But I will give you a few suggestions of how, you know, we can do this without upending everything, is that all the constellations out there are not of the same size. They don't take up exactly 30 degrees of space in the sky. So when we have a circle that is 360 degrees, and we have 13 now constellations that the sun is moving through around that 360 degrees, what happens? None of those signs stay within 30 degrees. If you look at Pisces and I think it's Pisces and Virgo or Libra, they are wide constellations. They take up more like 38 degrees or so of the sky each, and Scorpio only 6 degrees of the sky of that 360 degree circle. So what do we do with that, right? Because that's going to change fundamentally the signs that we are. So I feel like, here's what I really feel like. You know how in Gene Keys, we have the shadow, the gift, and the Siddhi frequencies? I feel like when we start to align with the 13th sign, and we start to align with the way that changes our calendar, of our astrological calendar, the backdrop against the constellations, that we begin to move into the gift level naturally, right? Right now, we get there and we have to work at it some, and we have to work really hard if we want to get to the Siddhi. But if we start to embrace this 13th sign and we start to embrace this concept of healing and transformation that comes easily, naturally, I think it really changes the access that we all have to higher consciousness. So I almost feel like we must do this if we want to consciously evolve, right? And now I'm talking conscious evolution for sure, because we're going to say consciously, we want to make these changes. Even if we still have to use a Gregorian calendar, there are changes that we can make in our own thinking that will help elevate our consciousness. So there we go. Christine says, I'm pushed by one day from Pisces into Aquarius. Well, that was interesting. All right. Now, I can't even tell you what just happened because it's almost gross, but funny, right? A fly is now sitting right here on my calendar, which my desktop calendar right in front of me. And you can ask Terry, who's out there somewhere. All weekend long, I've had this fly thing going on. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what they mean or what they want, but I've been letting them out one after another. Like, you don't belong in the house. Let's let you outside. But this one just fell right here in front of me on my calendar. I could take a picture and send it to you later. He landed on my finger and then fell onto my calendar. So I'm just going to let him sit there because I'm thinking maybe he has a message. But if I freak out because he flies in my face, you know, don't worry. It's not me dying. It's just a fly. Now I'm distracted totally. All right. So the 13th sign. I guess I got the message and he flew away. So the 13th sign then, giving us access to the potential of raising our consciousness, right? Really moving ahead in terms of how we count time, how we see ourselves against the backdrop of the stars. And I just love that, right? I just love this idea that we can consciously guide our evolution. So there's that. Okay. Jinky 20 is the fly. Funny, J-Lo. Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. You know why? Because if we add a 13th sign, we can also change our human design And when I take mine and change it to a 13th sign, the gene key 20 or the gate 20 becomes my sun. So the sun is at 20 and the earth is at 34 rather than my 12 and 11. So maybe that's the message, right? So how do I elevate from those two things? Oh my gosh, the potential is amazing, right? This idea that we can evolve ourselves, and all it takes is for us to embrace one little thing, and that's, you know, a change to looking at the zodiac in a new way. And I know there are astrologers out there who just fight and kick and scream because the tropical zodiac is all based on seasons. There are four seasons on the planet, although that's changing, don't you think? I mean, summers are getting a little longer, spring is getting a little shorter. I don't know. I just feel like things are changing there too. But basically, you know, that is how the astrological wheel runs from season to season, right? There's the spring and summer and all of that. And that makes sense to me too. And I really see the value in living a based on that system. But I also see that it leaves out a certain energy that we could be bringing in. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Gene Key 20. Oh my Lord, I can't believe you said that. Natasha, laugh out loud. They have great messages as I'm part of that totem. I love it. I don't know where he went to now, but he landed here, had a message, and flew off. Yeah, thanks. It will be 73 degrees in New York for Halloween. Wow. And I've noticed here, we haven't really dove into the 40s yet. It's been like low 50s. And as I look ahead at the 10-day, you know, I think it's 50s. Now that's early October, late September kind of weather for us. Should be, you know, diving a little bit. It's just a different kind of year. So, but, you know, it shows us that there are changes that we need to adapt to, right? That maybe we haven't yet done. Okay, let's go back to astrology. Well, it's all astrology. Venus in Sagittarius, today squaring Saturn in Pisces. Now, this impacts your relationships, right? Venus is about your relationships, your finances, your love life, and your partnerships, your self-worth, all of that type of thing. And the square between Venus and Saturn may highlight areas of tension in your relationships and urging us to address the ideals, where our ideals meet reality. Like, is the picture that you've painted this rosy picture, but it's really thorny over here, right? So how do we work those together? So we have to have realism in our relationships. That's basically what this transit's about. Venus in Sagittarius loves freedom, loves adventure and optimism, while Saturn in Pisces brings more cautious, structured, and a more introspective approach to relationships. So the square can kind of highlight the tensions between the two, where we are, where commitment is, where boundaries are, where responsibilities are. And it often leads us to confront whether a relationship or a connection aligns with our deeper values, which, you know, Alonda earlier in the broadcast asked a question that's very much about this, right? It's this idea of what these connections that we have with people, is it serving us? Is it serving all in the highest? And is it leading us to connect with our higher values? So Londa, if you're still out there listening, that is a good question. Confronting this idea whether that relationship or that connection with that project or that group of people aligns with your deeper values. Now, also, there's emotional distance here. Saturn's influence can create a feeling of distance or limitation, but I also think of it as more discerning. Right, being able to step back, or maybe it's detachment a little bit that we want, you know, we step back from that a little bit, and it makes it harder for us maybe to express warmth and affection freely, but we also feel those things deeply. We might just need space in order to be able to speak to those things in our lives. And then there's also the whole issue of balancing freedom and responsibility. Right? If it's very one-sided, where you have all the freedom and the other person has all the responsibility, then that's going to be a mismatch. That's going to be a source of tension, a source of the stress that the square puts on us. And it's not grounded in emotional integrity, right? Everything here has to be grounded in emotional integrity. And then we're challenged to find that balance between independence and accountability, right? Responsibility is also accountability. And it's an excellent time then for us to assess our relationships. And, you know, we want relationships that allow us for growing and support, but we also don't want to be taken advantage of or taken for granted where we are carrying the weight in those relationships. It could also be a day for financial reality check. Venus rules money. And material resources such as time and energy and people, right? We're all a resource. And Saturn square can kind of put the spotlight on a need for budgeting or saving or reconsidering how you invest your resources, your time, your money, your energy. And it might also feel like it's a time to confront your financial limitations, to move beyond lack, to move beyond scarcity, and help to create a solid foundation for future success financially, right? Or future abundance. It's also a time to strengthen our commitment to our values, to living our values, not living against our values, right? Saying one thing and doing another is living against our values. And Saturn in Pisces asks us to align with our spiritual and emotional and the principles, right? The spiritual, emotional, mental principles that we live by, even in the face of external pressure to be different. And the square may ask you to affirm your core values and let go of any connections or possessions that no longer support your authentic path, right? So if this thing or this relationship or this project no longer supports you in the path that you've chosen, then it's time to let it go because it becomes a drain on your energy here. And what this, you know, aspect is really calling for is to be a part of a community or be in relationships that really support you on your next steps. It's growth through restriction, which I always find so difficult, right, to think about. How do you grow when you're also being restricted? And I think I shared with you that, you know, the lady that's doing the Success Codex, she told me that, you know, think of it was my gene key gate 60 that I was rebelling against. Think of it as the cauldron, right, the magic cauldron, and it's holding all of the things. It's bringing a structure so that all of the magic can happen within the boundaries. So growth through restriction is staying within the container and making sure that it's supporting what it is that you want to do next, right? What do you want to do? Because this transit can lead to a more profound understanding of your values, of your priorities, as well as a firmer sense of commitment to your personal growth through your connections, right? Through doing what is right for you from the authentic self. All right. So really, it brings some reflective time to us. It is sometimes sobering energy that, though challenging, could offer us a glimpse as to how we can be more authentic, more in our own authority, and how that allows us to achieve longer term success and stability in our lives. All right. Let's see, Wednesday's transits now. So Wednesday is the 30th. Remember, on Wednesday, Tam and I will be breaking down November for you. It's an important month, astrologically speaking. We'll be right here at 8 a.m. It's also recorded. So if you can't make that day, you can listen to it later. But on Wednesday, we have Mercury in Scorpio opposing Uranus in Taurus. Such a fascinating aspect pattern, because Mercury rules the mind, our thinking mind, right? The mental, that the thing, if I say your mental state, you're thinking your mind, right? You're what you're thinking about. So that's Mercury. But Uranus is our higher mind. It is our connection to the collective unconscious, maybe, or to spirit, to your higher self. So when these two come together, it brings likely, you know, this energy of the two parts of your mind together. And an opposition is sort of, you know, the need, we have this need to balance these both of these sides. And Mercury in Scorpio is deep and investigative, right? We're unpacking the mysteries. We're solving the hidden puzzles, right? And it's meeting the unpredictable and the innovative energy of Uranus in Taurus. And it often means there are breakthroughs or realizations, the aha moments, right, that come up. We may have flashes of insight that bring hidden truths to light, bring up something that you didn't see before. And it might challenge your usual way of thinking. And it prompts you to see things through a new perspective. A great day to have your I have my little notebook that I keep, right? And you can see I write all over it, right? I have all my notes, right? So keep a little book with you, or keep your, you know, recorder on your phone so that you can record any insights that come through. There's also tension, though, in communication. You know, Mercury's mind is moving in the deep waters. And when there's a striking aha moment, sometimes that might mean we bring out things that we didn't mean to say. And I was looking at this in terms of the human design aspect, and Mercury, I think it is, is at gate 43. I'm going to check that really quickly. Mercury. Okay. Yep. He is at gate 43 through tomorrow. And 43 is called the gate of insight in a way. It is a gate that really works well with this transit because it stimulates our thinking outside of the box. And yet it is a place where we have to be very careful about what we say and who we say it to, because it's a possibility that we get misunderstood or people just look at us like we've grown two heads. Like, what are you talking about? And they just don't get you. So it's a place where we have to be very careful to only speak about our insights to the people that are correct for us, or in the right timing is probably the better way to say it, or with an invitation to speak, right? So if you have this brilliant insight in the midst of a group of people who are working on a project, you might preface it with, I've just had a brilliant insight. Do you guys want to hear it? And if they say yes, then you can share. If they are not ready to hear it, though, then, and you speak it anyway, then it goes nowhere and you feel frustrated and so forth. So we want to be very careful about communication. And Mercury in Scorpio tends to go deep, right? It goes into that depth. And if they're not ready to, you know, to connect with you with that kind of conviction, then it goes nowhere. Right. And Uranus also brings up a little bit of that rebellious nature, that uncompromising edge to things. And it might lead to surprising or abrupt exchanges that really challenge you, where you can get into conflict or confrontation. So be very careful about who you speak your insights to on Wednesday. We also have a breakdown of routine during that kind of a transit, where we want to do things different. We want to be different. We want to color outside the lines. We have a drive to be authentic in our expression, to say what we really mean, to really get deeper into the things that we want to say. There can also be surprise changes in our plans. And it, because the nature of Uranus is unexpected, right? Unexpected. It's a time when our plans may shift suddenly. So be aware in your own life. This is one of the big shifts in this week that can happen. Disruption that can happen during this week. But it's also inspiring. It inspires us to be innovative, to rise above the old and to connect with the new. On Halloween, we have Mercury and Scorpio trine Neptune in Pisces. So these kind of, they're back to back, right? Where the Mercury opposition to Uranus is striking, and, you know, bright ideas and, you know, realizations that come like as a breakthrough. Mercury in Scorpio in a trine with Neptune intuitively guides us and is inspiration that comes from intuition, heightened imagination, and creative energy flowing through that. Being more empathic, or empathetic, I guess is a better word, in our communication, and maybe some secrets and mysteries being unveiled to us. We can see into the paradox of things. because we're more sensitive in that particular time. All right. Boom. Let's pull a card. I'm going to pull us another Halloween card since, you know, we only have a few more days to be able to do that. This is the Halloween Oracle by Stacy DeMarco. And let's see. See, the cards are really pretty on the back too, right? They have all the Halloween symbols. All right. So let's see what card can guide us for the week. Let me check for questions. How's everybody doing out there? You've all been very quiet since the fly. Woo. The fly. All right. So I have the underworld where all things pause and begin again. There's a pomegranate here. That's interesting. And a skull, of course. And it says where all things pause and start again. Probably should have kept the book out. The underworld. Another realm, shadow-filled, travel from death's bed, where we stop and transform within the realm of the dead. The idea of an underworld, a whole realm that we go to after we die, is a concept that crosses a huge variety of cultures and eras. The Sumerians, the Turkish, the Incas, the Greeks, through to the Siberians, the Maori, and the Khmers, all had a distinct word for the underworld. What is different, though, is how those cultures treat this concept. Whether the underworld is seen as a place of rest and rejuvenation, or horror and punishment. The Christian hell is a place of darkness, fire, and punishment. The Egyptian underworld is one of judgment, peace, and renewal. In Maori culture, it is an in-between place of waiting, wisdom, and transition. Many myths that mention the underworld often involve the concept of a place of waiting and of trials and eventual judgment. It can also be a place of joy and peace. Should the underworld card be present in your reading, you are being asked to consider exactly what you have to do to transform your life into something you find easier or more authentic to you. This may involve changing course. It may involve trials and tests. Keep moving. Whilst things may fall apart or fall away, not apart. Whilst things may fall away and your life may appear bare for a time, this is temporary. Space is being made into which you can create the new. Good message on this window into Halloween. All right. That is it for me today. Thank you guys for joining me. I hope to see you on Wednesday. Take care, everyone. Persephone and Hades Smith. Yes, exactly right. And that's it for me, you guys. Take care. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.